We're now holding by the second piece in Akdama of Lishmar Derech Yitzchayim, where he's going to explain why Torah is called Derech Yitzchayim. The Medrash Vayikra Rabba Lishmar Derech Yitzchayim, it says Kavov Derech Kodem Derech Eretz HaTorah, that Derech Eretz preceded Torah 26 Derech. Shenema Lishmar Derech Zu Derech Eretz V'chakach Yitzchayim Zat Torah Adkan. So you have Derech Eretz before Torah. He's going to explain all aspects of this metaphor. Uma shenikra Torah Eitz v'Derech Eretz Derech Mipnei. So the first thing he wants to explain is why Torah is called Eitz. Mipnei shvatzolema katorah hinetia chazaka k'ma Eitz hazeh shnatua b'chayzik. So the Maral explains, and in a few places he speaks about strong and strength. Strong and strength are usually measured by not giving way to something else. It's something which is, if I say a strong shelf, you know, strong in the sense of being aggressive and pushing against something else is not the usual standing of it. It's something which is holds up on its own, and it has a very strong metzias. In other words, your metzias does not become butler from other things. That's called chayzik. So he says, Torah is an etir chazaka k'mo eitz hazeh shenatua b'chayzik v'yesh ha'shoshim gdolim. Now, the strength of a tree, and in many ways the strength of a building and other things, very much depend on, A, obviously the material itself, but also what is it based on. Let's explain a point over here. When I go and argue with somebody about something, so a person's argument takes on two strata. A, there are the axioms and the assumptions that I make, and then there are the follow-through. If A, then B, and if A plus B, it must be C, or something like that. So we always have a firm bedrock on which we're basing it, and then we're following through. Most of the time, the arguments of another person are not decimated on account of the person's math. In other words, if A then B. You know, sometimes people do pull fast ones at that, and they make assumptions, and that we can. Discipline of logic can give us some insight in that. That's the norm. But there's something which we can. But most of the time, we really attack the person's assumptions. You're starting as if A, B, and C are a given. I don't think so at all. So when somebody comes and tells me, you know, I don't know, going crouching around in the, I don't know, hanging out at the pizza store is more fun than sitting and learning, so therefore I ought to hang around the pizza store. We demolish the argument by saying, A, that's not true absolutely. Torah is more fun, or having fun is not what you really want. There are other things you want out of life other than having fun. That's really how I do it. So, where is Torah rooted? Where does Torah get its validity from? What are its axioms? Where are they coming from? So he says, I once heard from Rabbi Berman's Rein of Rocha, told somebody once, from your perspective, you're right, but your perspective is wrong. The Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Its axioms are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's axioms. Ashemeno atzula Torah zeis misuderes meitoy. Ukmoshe ispar oid bekam kormes echan tia zeis Hashem isparach. Kimoisha eisei zokam ti asai hi adama. Because Torah is something that extends from it. It's rooted in Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and it grows out to us in our words, terms, and understandings. But it's coming from someplace very deep. They can't move it in any way, even if all the people wanted to move it, because it's rooted in something that doesn't allow itself to move. Shlomo HaMelech came along, and this is the case, the exact case that we're referring to. Shlomo HaMelech had an argument, and he said that you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said le'aber nashim, and he rooted in something. He said because they're going to be meisa liboy, they're going to turn his heart away. So he said, well, if that's not true, then there are cases that it's not true. It doesn't always happen, and I'm one of those. So it says, so Devarim Amr Shem Yechoy Seif Mishnah Torah Olav and Shalaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Seif Devarim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Amr Ribbon Shalom Dait Ki Shebot L'Miktsas Shebot L'Kula. If even one word of Torah is proven wrong, all of it's proven wrong. In other words, if I present an axiom if any one of my axioms is seen, if it's arguable with, then all of them are. Axioms I either need to accept commonly or not accept. If I say that you know that the axioms you've set down are emes because you set them down, then they're all inviolable. If I can play with some of them, then there's no end to what I can play with. So therefore he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, So it means that in the tug of war between Shlomo and the Torah is rooted much more firmly. So even though Shlomo is rooted to the greatest extent of human seichel and das, but Torah is rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein af im kol arba malchus shen neged aberuchos ha'olam. Boim lakatan so idea xeroseim, kemoishe oisin, and yechoyin lakab xerosim atayra. So Dalad Malchus also can't. Now, the Maharal in the beginning of Ner Mitzvah explains the concept of Dalad Malchus, why it's intrinsic to the Bria. He says that the Chazal say that in the very heart of the Bria, Varatai Sutoyeva Voya Vachashach Ne Sahoim, those four represent Dalad Malchus, means that at the very core of the Torah you have something which is you have something which is the Ra, and he explains that the Ra is each one of the four directions where something comes out of dead center. So in other words, if I'm trying to uproot something, a lot of times I'll twist it and turn it with the hope that any one particular angle is not quite there. So when I root an argument in some foundation, I can try to look at the foundation in different ways and see if I can knock it there. But Torah is, the firmness of Torah is that it can't be knocked, and therefore it can't be uprooted. B'nikra Eitz Chaim. So Torah is called an Eitz, because of its rootedness. It's two strata. It has roots and has the tree with the leaves and the fruits. That's one part of the mashal of Eitz. Why is it called Eitz Chaim? So we normally tend to translate it as a tree that gives life, and that's one way. But the truth is, he says, at least, that Eitz Chaim is a description of Torah that it is life in itself. Let's explain, and he explains why. V'lo yishe toima Let's describe what we're talking about. First of all, the word Chaim is something which, like Mayim Chaim, means it's constantly flowing waters and so on. When something is living, in modern science, one of the things that we have, one of the riddles that we struggle to understand is, why does a person get old and die? Because a living person means that we constantly refresh ourselves and rejuvenate. The body is constantly replacing itself. I've got to think like 3 months or something, there's no cell left that used to be. So why do we get old? I mean, there are all sorts of possible tirutzim, but at the end of the day, it's still a riddle. So we can understand, occasionally something can go wrong, but that would be like an occasional issue. That wouldn't be the teva olam. Something which is living is constantly inventing itself, and therefore it has be'etzem no hefsik. That which is living can't ever be static. So if a person can be static on many in many limbs, that's what we do when we sleep, but something's got to keep going all the time. The heart and lungs become static, the person is dead. It's not living. So that which is chai, it means it's not bound by anything outside of it. Something living is capable of creating its own environment. It protects itself, it provides for itself. A living being enforces, keeps its own existence. A rock or a clod of earth or something that's not living does not provide for itself, and therefore it's at the mercy of some other context, and it gets eroded or washed away or whatever it is. That which is living is providing its own existence, in a sense, and it's constantly focused on to keep the existence going. And therefore, if you have true chius, the word chayim used in its true sense is everlasting. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called Elokim Chayim, it refers to that property. Anything that is living as hefsik, kmo mayim chayim, shemikosh lo hefsik. The halacha is certain tumis need to have mayim chayim, and if you have any interruption of flow, if occasionally it stops, that's called mayonas hamechazvos, and it does not it's not chayim. Loik modam shikar adam chay, shaloshen adam chay roitzolima adam sheyesh lo chius. Now, the Chayim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a difference between Chay in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chay in a person. Chay in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Be'etzem Chay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is life itself. Adam is granted Chayim. And therefore, Adam possesses a life, but it's not life itself, and therefore it comes to an end. There comes a time when the guf gives up the ghost, so to speak. It doesn't live. Masha'in Kain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since he's chai, is the kod. It's not a description, or it's not an additional property or quality, but that's what it is. It's forever. Shashalom chayat zolayim odesh shlachiyos okidachsi vayadam nefesh chaya. But Eitzachayim means the tree of life. Ein lo hefsik. That tree of life is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulkach nika Hashem Yisbaruch Alekim Chayim Shua Chayim Anitzchim Atzmoy. Ubemokim Shenemar Chay Hashem, wherever it says Chay Hashem, so Chay Hashem means HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is life. Ki'ilu k'siv Chayim Shekeimor HaPasach. So it's appropriately used whenever you use Hashem's name and you want to, you know, you want to swear by Hashem's name. You say Chay Hashem by the life that is God Himself. By Adam, you need to say the life of Paro. Since a person is not life itself, so therefore, it's possible for him not to be living. So, in the words Eitz Chaim, it's telling me that Torah itself has no bittul, neither from others nor from itself. In other words, there are two ways in which something can come to an end. Either something from the outside destroys it, or something from within disintegrates. Eitz Chaim is a description of Torah that precludes both of them. It's an eitz that's rooted in something extremely, extremely firm, and therefore it doesn't allow for any type of outside force to have it wobble in any way. And it's chayim, so internally it's constant and it doesn't stop. So a person also, the secondary meaning of Eitz Chaim is true as well, that it's something which gives a person chiyus if he attaches himself to it. Let's just explain it, I guess. We're not dealing here with the mystical quality of, you know, Torah giving you physical long life. It's talking about another point. In my very sense of what I am and what I'm living for and so on, in that very, very sense of things, I can have a philosophy, a perspective that can come and go. In other words, it's proven not true, and so on, or it peters out, and it doesn't really, at some point it just gives way. So for instance, a person who's living for something that seems to project worth, but at the end of the day, it's at some point it comes and peters out. Many people have had ideals they live for, or goals they live for, and at some point it just began to dry up and not exist. And therefore he says it's something which the Torah has the quality of never, there will never be any outside influence or any outside attack that will destroy it, and I'll realize, whoa, this is, you know, it's all wrong because A, B, or C. The fact that it's rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that it's not going to be like that. The second thing is, it's not going to peter out because it has a point of nitzchis to it. So when a person engages in some sort of physical pursuit, so since those physical pursuits are physical material, they have limitations, and the enjoyment of it and the acquisition of it, all of that has boundaries and limits, and that's it. It doesn't satisfy a person for any longer than that. Masha'in Kain, when you talk about Torah, since it's chiyus and nitzchiyus from within, And it's nitzchis because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nitzchis. In other words, as a reason to live, to exist, as a goal to accomplish, it doesn't peter out because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't peter out. In that way, it's called an Etz Chaim. So it has both senses. It's not going to be ever toppled. So even if the winds move them, but it never gets uprooted. You can ask, you can have some tough questions, but at the end of the day, it's back in place because it's rooted in the pure emes. And in the natural course of time, it does not peter out.